How's everyone feeling? Great? You know, we've had a really blessed conference and with all the speakers and teachers, and there's been a wealth of information. I know I've been blessed. Everybody's been blessed.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So hopefully we'll continue along that way. And like, Ronnie indicated at some point, there's always that weave, that spiritual weave that God knows, you know, what needs to be shared in that weaving of that, whatever you want to call it, a theme, but I sensed it. And I sure pray that we all do.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads, open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed conference. Thank you for putting it all together. Father, for all the believers. Father, for the little things that don't get recognized. Thank you for all of it, coming together and supporting this awesome conference. And we thank you for everyone getting back home and for everyone's mind just being at rest and peace with you. And so we thank you for that word effervescing in our hearts, that others may see the truth. And so we thank you for all this in the name of the Son of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, unlike the other teachers and believers, I won't have any handouts to charge you. It's a good thing, right?
We were out of money anyway.
That's right.
There you go.
We're all broke.
Amen. That could be a good thing. Then we rely on him and not on our own.
Amen.
So one of the things that was impressed upon my heart, let me read it and then I'll share some thoughts on it. 2 Timothy Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Remembering that this is a prison epistle, and the last prison epistle Paul wrote, which is really interesting in that he says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." That's absolutely will come. And in the context, if we know that everything is context, so there was a lot that was said, right, when he says this know also prior, right? So, and there's only so much time that I'm going to have, right? So I'm not looking to cover the details of the chapter 3, although I may touch on it. I'm looking at it from a more macro, rather than micro. And so that was what was impressed on my heart, is that here he refers to one of the first words is, and it was shared earlier, which I see the weave there,
yeah,
is this know. That word gnosko. This know means that it's important for us not just to know as a fact, but that we have to perceive, we have to familiarize ourselves, we have to acquaint ourselves, we have to really, 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 really perceive, discern these last days. That's important. When the Word of God says that, familiarize yourself with this unique, in a very unique personal way. It should be that we detect what it is before we understand what it means. Otherwise we wouldn't use that word, gnosko, right? And so detecting with a spiritual discernment. No different, in fact, when many of the prophets in the Old Testament were warned, and were alerted, many times of the changes, whether it was a dispensational change or a real, change in events, in cataclysmic, you know, like Noah, right?
Yeah.
And so, similarly here, we're being told this note, this gnosko also. So, you know, we can take that as a, yeah, I know that. But it's more than just that. We need to really understand the times. How many here, for example, understand the times we're living in? A very, very, very different, even, I don't know, even 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing things that are so evil that we wouldn't recognize. If we were to go back 10, 15 years ago, we would never imagine some of the things that are being said in our society now.
Yeah.
And suggested. We would say, are you nuts?
Amen.
And so that should be enough for us to, hello, wake up. This is what he's talking about. That it's only even maybe the beginning. We don't, you know, so much was said about, Jason even indicated the vapor of time, right? We're limited as humans with that time element. And so we don't understand from God's perspective. I mean, this is about to happen. From our perspective, we're looking at that time frame that we're limited by because we have that human element. From his perspective, it's just a vapor of time. And so what I'm just merely just saying is that this could be right around the corner. And we don't have that sense because we're in this human body. But this could happen. I mean, it's kind of like the day we fall asleep. The next waking moment would have been, that's why he calls it, but like a sleep, right? It's not like we're going to know any more than when you're sleeping. Anybody had a really good night's sleep? Did you think about anything? No, right? You just woke up. And so you went from one event to the other. Think of it as the same way that God is trying to impress upon us. That brevity of time that we really, as humans, don't have that sense other than the limitations of time, which God has no limitations of such. That panoramic view is something that he's trying to get us to understand.
Amen.
That this know is that we're in it right now. We should be able to perceive some of the things that we are spiritually discerning are happening right now. It could be the next moment. It could be the next year. It could be another 10 years. But you know what? Again, when he was talking to the believers and apostles, we see that they were in that same state of what? Expectancy.
Yeah.
That level of expectancy was one of urgency and one of being aware. And so this know also is connected here with still yet another word. This know also that in the last days, so I said, well, okay, in the last days, what does that mean? We all want to know what, you know, we hear it often, last days. The Greek word there is 2078. Eschatos, and it's defined technically as the farthest of time, right? But like it says, like in the last of series. But again, we're humans, so we have, you know, the shortcoming of we want to know when, you know, just like the apostles asked our Lord, right? But that's our limitation. But here, we see that eschatos, that's what we get eschatology in theology, right? The last days. So, we're going to take a quick look at that, just to get an idea. See, here's an interesting thing about that. that it occurs 54 times, that Koine Greek words. And from what I looked up, it has 8 factors. Well, the number 8 suggests resurrection, regeneration. Are we getting somewhere with this now?
Yeah.
Meaning that there's more to just the last days. There's something, the turnaround corner, something better to come. And so here now we are impressed to understand that not only that we should understand what this is, but that the eschatos is directly associated with eternal events that's going to have a favorable outcome for us. So even as I say that, you have here that in the last days, perilous times. Now that's another Greek word that's not so favorable, perilous, right? But before we get there, the point is that you have two thoughts. You know, on the one hand, we have the last days that suggest that there is going to be some regeneration or rebirth or resurrection, which is how we need to see that. So as we see these, or discern these times, with that comes with the understanding that with the hope that we have of the out resurrection, something so different and unique that becomes our expectancy, which is our hope.
Amen.
So going back to, you know, these factors, we've got one, these are 8 factors of the number of occurrences of 54 is 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 18, 27. What's interesting is here it goes. This is a study on words, as though it is. But yet, if we're going to ginosko, that is really, really fully understand and perceive, we need to understand what this means. Because here, this means here as a product of 9 and 6. So what? Well, that word is associated, it says it has factors of 9 and 6. It's a judgment. So now we're going beyond just the last days or eschatos. Now we have something associated with the judge. According to even the gematria of Dan, we have basically it marks the end or conclusion of a matter. So we're on to something that what we see, what we perceive is leading to a culmination of not just the end, but the conclusion of what God sees is His timing of the need for a change. And one that is going to have a favorable outcome for us. Amen?
Amen.
But let's break that further. Because I wasn't satisfied with that. And the others are you. So, look at 9, and that's very related to 6. 9 and 6 are related as far as numbers, because 6 being the sum of factors 3, 3 times 3 is equal 9, 3 plus 3 is 6, right? And so it's the significance of the end of man. Now we have a little deeper understanding of eschatos. Not only does it occur 54 times, but there are factors in there that suggest that it's the conclusion of 6 is associated with man. Right? So that's interesting because it only affirms what we should know, that these times are a reflection of something real to come. And God is very accurate and precise. There's nothing nebulous about it.
Amen.
Is what my point is. And so as you study that, you go, oh my gosh, he's on target. Mm-hmm. And so should we. We should know this. I didn't. And so I thought that was very intriguing. So we see that, and I wanted to share that again from the, before we even read the rest, Right? That's a mouthful. Because it takes us into some of the changes that man has had throughout human history, right? And there's some of which are spoken of. So, for example, we have here, let's see, well, before we go in there, so this statement in 3:1 is interesting that it said, after we're exhorted in 2 Timothy 2:15, of the need to study and to show thyself approved. So it's interesting that it's only after we have that precept declared that we then have the importance of understanding where we are in relation to time, in relation to eschatos. Why is that? Because it's actually, what's really interesting about that is that you have a lot of mouthful. On the one hand, we have the exhortation to study, and then we have, watch out, it's coming, is the point.
Yeah.
And so, one cannot precede the other. If you were to reverse this, that wouldn't make too much of a logical sense. And yet, it's a culmination, it's almost like a crescendo, if you will, for lack of a better word. It's reaching a climax, is what I'm trying to say. Let's look at it from Peter's perspective. 2 Peter 3:8. Now remember, that was a different dispensation. Second Peter chapter 3. I'm in the wrong verse. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this verse, here we have it, that there shall come in the last days, same word, scoffers walking after their own lust. So one of the things that I've seen, that I got to observe, I should say, with that word, is there's a common, various different characteristics associated with that word, scoffers. And so here, are we safe to say in this verse that this scoffers is associated with scoffers? Who do what to the word?
Oh, thank you.
There you go. And so they're corrupt. Right? And so that's one thing that we see. He then, but it's parallel. So although that was under, you know, under Peter's epistle, we see the same of what will happen. Of course, you know, verse 4 is saying, where is the promise of his coming? So that's an association with the last days. Do we see that today? Did we see it in Noah's time, where they laughed at him, as an example? So, we're seeing certain characteristics of eschatos, whereby we need to easily detect what that is, and what it means. But it doesn't end there, there's a lot more. There is a lot more. For example, let's see, look at 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. So it's something else that is associated with that word, the scoffers. 1 John 2:18. Little children, It is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. So we know that's one of the attributes associated with that, with the quote-unquote last days. We're heading in that direction. That's another characteristic of that, that we need to be aware of. Now we might know, we might have a mindset, a knowledge of it, but we need to really intuitively see what we can't totally understand. There are things we don't understand right now, geographically and politically, that are happening right now. The details of which we don't completely understand. Why? Because it's divine. But we know that it's going in that direction and that there's an imminent change. That to me is like a wow. Let's see, I think I'm gonna have to be looking for a scripture verse here. Look at Jude. Jude 18. So here again, we're told how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. So here again, that word has a connotation of people who are going to be opposed to the things of God in many, many, many different ways. And we see that today. We see a lot of religions. We see things that are completely repugnant. Even in established religions, don't we? Much less, of course, the rightly divided word as we know. And we have that interesting thing of, let's say, Revelation 15. Revelation 15. So here is associated with plagues in verse 1. And I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. So here that word is associated with such plagues in Revelation. As it also is in chapter 21, verse 9. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. So we have here a thought, again, of the position of that eschatos, meaning it's a series of the ultimate end, if you will. So here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So here we have a sense of just the positioning in time of that series of how far in. Do we know exactly? No, but we are right at the cusp of such a change that we need to gnosko and discern. It's there. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. So here is an association with this the word eschatos is being used with the unendless geographical, the non-limitation, if you will, of how far this can go here with regards to Skavos. In Acts 13:47, I'll read it. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So here we have a sense that it has no boundaries, is the point. And so we understand the word that God's ability with this eschatos has no geographical boundaries in this sense. And neither should it in purpose as well. It doesn't. Acts chapter 2. So here was Peter declaring, of course, the prophecy of Joel. We get a sense of how it's used there in chapter 2, verse, let's go to 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, of course, referring to the level of expectancy that Joel had declared in his prophecy, where he was declaring the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, it shall come to pass. Whenever I hear it shall come, that means absolutely, it's going to happen. And so they were being told something that, remember, it was not a year before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? There were several number of years between when Joel declared the prophecy and when it actually happened. And so can you imagine those people then who heard that? Again, they were humans just like us. When is that going to happen? And yet it did. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred, of course. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel 17, and it shall come to pass, absolutely, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So, here is something that, again, was declared and associated with the last days. Then had God, of course, had Israel repented, right? Pointing to the outpouring in Acts chapter 2. So we have similarly in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, where we have the promise of the power from on high. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, so really demonstrating to us there's no limit, there's no bound. And so we see the last days, it's not gonna be bound by anything. Just by anything. It's not going to be bound by time. It's not going to be bound by geopolitical actions of any kind. It's going to happen. And we need to have that sense of not just urgency or awareness, but it's imminent. It's about to happen. Amen?
Amen.
So here is another interesting thing where this word is associated with. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And again, I'm looking at that word and what is associated with in terms of not just last, but here we have in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 26, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So this word is associated with none other than what? Death. Enemy. Meaning, that's the last thing that will be dealt with. And so, that marks to us that, it tells us, I should say, that the word clearly is revealing to us the enemy is going to be dealt with. Remember, the judgment, exactly how it occurs with its gematria. So death will be dealt with. So that's a favorable outcome. Something we need to eagerly look forward to. And so the eschatos, or the last days, are something that we eagerly look forward to. Even as it's perilous, which we haven't got to yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, many are looking to improve in circumstances today, however you consider doing that economically, politically, but the truth is, it's got to get worse before it gets better, in short.
Yeah.
So any effort to improving the system, well, you have to consider, from God's perspective, none of it matters, does it?
For a temple, yeah.
Yeah, because it's all temporary. It's what a vapor, as Jason said. And so it needs to go in that direction, is the point. We need to do what we need to do as responsible believers. That's not, I'm not eradicating our responsibility, of course. But we see it from a spiritual perspective that it's going to happen.
Amen.
And it's got to happen. And it's got to be that way. Why? Because I said, no, because the word of God declares it's going to be that way. So who am I to try to even affect that? When it's declared that it's got to get worse. Or it gets better. Is my point.
Amen.
So look at 1 Corinthians 15, 45. So 15:45 there. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last, the eschatos Adam, and who would that be? For none other than Christ, was made a quickening spirit. So there we have an association with the promise of, again, resurrection, regeneration, life, salvation. And so the word has a lot of different coloring, is my point. It's not just one, it's not just the end, but the word of God tags it with various different characteristics that I found intriguing. Which time do I have?
About 15.
Okay. Good. So, we've touched on eschatos, and you can, you know, see that even on your own. Don't know that I'm going to have too much time to get it. Well, let's touch on one, at least. Let's see, Genesis 49. This is just an example, and the why we need to know and really ascertain and discern the current times in a spiritual manner is the point. 49 verse 1. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which meet before you in the last days. So here we have an exhortation. Now he's telling his sons, of course, the outcome of what God had instructed him, what was going to happen, right? And it's interesting because he enumerates, not going to have the time to go through all of it, but the point is that here we're told, even the prophetic declaration of Christ and where he comes in. For example, gather yourselves, verse 2, hear ye sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel your father. And he obviously touches on Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down. Judah is a lion's whelp, from the prey, my son, thou art gone up, stoop down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So we have an association. He's obviously instructing his sons, but we're getting a glimpse of the exhortation of even the last days then, that they were not really, in other words, they didn't get to see any of that, did they? They weren't that close and imminent in time. And so we should be cognizant, aware that time is not a factor. We're bound by it as humans. But God, it's, you know, as the scripture says, you know, he sees 1,000 days as one day. And so we should not look at time limitations. It's to cloud how close we are. We're very close. We just don't understand it. And if we don't understand the time factor, so what? It's but a vapor, as Jason said. In other words, it's but a moment in time. When we fall asleep, it's just that. We wake up. The next waking moment, we're not going to think how long we've been sleeping. Oh my gosh, it's been 8 hours. Or 10 hours.
You don't know.
You don't know, right?
20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we need to get somewhat, I can say that, out of our human element and understand God's perspective. Very different. And when we do that, we're sensitive. We're much more sensitive to the times. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go on to, I'm not going to have the time to cover more, so let me see if I can go into the next word. Going back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, where we started. This know also that in the last days, you see, so now we have a deeper sense. Even though we don't get into the micro yet, we haven't even touched that. Right? All the verses that follow of what we should expect. But from a macro, you know, an overall sense, we're getting something of a, wow, this is huge. This is a little bigger than even just some of the details that follow. And so this also know that in the last days, perilous times, that word perilous is kalapos. And what's interesting is it occurs. Anybody know that? How many times does it occur? 2 times. That's it. 2 times. That's not a lot. Only 2 times. So we've got a lot to go. I mean, we see the English word, But it's going to be something that's going to be troublesome, as we know, dangerous, harsh, fierce. We see what kind of translation, right, on it. So, how harsh? So, Matthew 8:28, the first occurrence, and when he came to the other side into the country of the Gergenes, there met him two possessed with devils, talking about Christ, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, that no man might bypass that way. So, exceeding fierce. So it's associated with this fierceness connected with devil. The devils, right? With evilness.
Yeah.
So we know that such dangerous, perilous in English times, chelepos is directly associated with evil. But shouldn't surprise us?
Yeah, amen.
Because there's always the whole notion, even I think in the secular world understands the nature of good and evil.
There's no line anymore.
Right. Now there's no line, exactly. But they understand that, at least from a popular standpoint, that good always prevails. I mean, we see that being played out in much of the secular literature, right? Even mythology, right? Movies that typically good prevails. So the thought here again is that we know, we anticipate that, of course, only good could be the outcome of such evilness. But we need to recognize that it's real, it's evil, it's here.
Amen.
And it's going to confront us in ways that we don't even understand that either. And yet we can say some of what we've even experienced in modern times, I would never have thought that we would embrace some of the things that we are embracing now. It is so far-fetched, isn't it? And we see it being taught in our schools.
Yeah.
And it's clearly evil. All of it is evil.
Amen.
And so until someone knows, until people know the word, you cannot change that. Because they don't know the word.
Amen.
It's impossible to get somebody to, you know, to agree with you or see anything if they don't see this. So they need to know God. That's at the real focus.
Center, yeah.
And the center, if you will, of it all. They don't know God any more than during Noah's time. Did they know God? No. And when the time came, it was just too late.
Too late. So.
And that is what really we should see that from that standpoint now. Just from that standpoint, if you remember, God shut them in. Right?
Sealed them up.
Sealed them up. So it didn't matter how caring or, you know, Noah wanted to be up with this guy, is too late. And that should be perhaps the compelling notion in us that we pray that others see it before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Before it's too late. So, again, we have two words in there, and then I'm going to finish off with just showing, just reading the verse. Let me start off with one. Does this also know? So gnosko again, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. So it surprises us, of course not. Because they don't know God. That's why. Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy. So these are all characteristics that, again, is the outcome of what we're seeing now.
Amen.
And that's why we're to gnosko this and understand what that is. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Paul spoke about that. The demons who have forsaken him, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't say details.
Having loved this present world.
Having loved this present world. He must have had some kind of vacation trip or something. A cruise, right?
Yeah.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So that pleasure, you know, we need to, listen, God doesn't have a problem with us enjoying the things that he blesses us with, right?
Sure.
It is just the balance, if you will, and how we take that.
Mm-hmm.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such were exhorted, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive sinning women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge, of the truth.
Amen.
Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith.
Mm-hmm.
But they shall proceed no further. They shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as those as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, he tells Timothy, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. So here are the attributes that Paul's describing of himself, of course. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. So yes, he endured, and he's telling us, we're going to, yes, encounter such perilous times. And that's easier said than done, right? Challenges.
Yeah.
Well, we're just passing through. We're pilgrims, as is often said, right? Afflictions came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Because he does. Because in your most trying times, in our most difficult situations, God does.
Amen.
Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall absolutely suffer persecutions. So, let's be aware of that. It's gonna happen. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things, and this is the point, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are also to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to end with all scriptures given by inspiration, theopneustos of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. To what purpose? That the man of God may be perfect, mature. Truly, that means inward job, furnished unto all good works. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Work. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your divine work. Thank you, Father, encouraging us in these days. We thank you that we can perceive, Father, and understand all that you would have us to know as we walk this daily life. And so we thank you for all this and a blessed day. In the name of the Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.